The history of how we can, how did we start? We started because I was in a position where I felt that we needed to do something fun and entertaining with lots of people, bring lots of Aurovillians together. And somehow the idea of doing a musical came into my head because I thought that's fun. And then I think I hit on the idea of Oliver because it was something I always enjoyed watching as a child, and I thought, yeah, there's lots of children involved. I mean, it was always very much to try and get lots of kids involved. And so then I thought, well, how to do that? And I'd seen what Claire had done with Toad of Toad Hall, and I thought, yeah, Claire's very good at working with kids and drama. So I thought, if I saw Claire, and then I thought if Matthew would also help because of the music, we would have a production team. So then at that point, I remember I went to see Claire on a Sunday morning, and went into her house and said, what do you think? And then she said...
I said, good idea.
Good idea, yeah. Good idea. Why did you think it was a good idea?
Well, I'd also obviously seen Oliver when I was young and enjoyed it a lot and thought it was a great musical. And it sounded like it would be a lot of fun to work on it, and I liked the idea of working with the other people who Paul suggested, and I don't know if I even really believed it was going to happen at that point. I just said yes, and I'm still sometimes don't believe it happened.
Right, and then after I'd seen Claire, I'd said to her, look, if we can get Matt to do this, then we will be able to do it. So then I was walking around looking for Matt, and I could never find him. I even went to his house one day, and then I met him in Orlick car park, and I said, hey, Matt. He said, yeah. I said, what about doing Oliver as a musical? And then he said...
I was a little skeptical at first, but then I thought it was a really good idea. I can't say why exactly, but I had a good feeling about this, and I thought if we had the right kind of team that we could do this together.
Yeah, I remember you said, I've always wanted to do musicals, didn't you? Yeah. I mean, that was somehow you sort of said, no, great, I've always wanted to do musicals, but never felt that you could do it alone somehow, no?
Yeah, it's something that we'd, with Nuri also, that we've wanted to do since some time with the kids from the school, but... We always thought it was a rather large undertaking, and we needed the right team and the right people and the right time to do it. And somehow this, from the very beginning, felt like the right time to do this. And as Claire says, there were some points where I was no idea how it was going to happen, but somehow it just flowed from the very beginning.
No, it was incredible how it flowed from that sort of initial idea, and then Claire said yes, and then Matt said yes, and then Matt said, oh, we need the music. So then I went on the internet, and there it was, and checked with him, and then we bought the music, and then he set off and said, right, let's do it. And from there, we sort of came up with the idea of auditioning for the roles with the kids. So we set about sort of deciding how to go about that, with the times, and then in which way we would approach the kids, and what we would actually ask the kids to do in the auditions. And so by about March, I think, we had sort of designated Saturdays.
Yep.
Saturday mornings as the audition times. And then how did it go when you took it to the kids and asked them?
Well, at first it was very popular. We thought we'd have too many kids, but then as time went on, we did the auditions, and it still looked like a lot of kids wanted to do it. But at the same time, we told them that it was a kind of a serious commitment that they had to make, that it would take quite some of their time, and that also their holiday. Their whole holiday they would have to dedicate to that. So, yeah, we started the auditions.
But you taught the children the songs before, or they'd learnt it at school, no?
We had studied a year previously Oliver as a part of a totally different project.
Oh.
And so we had taught Consider Yourself, in fact, right. to the kids. So it was kind of natural that this was the starting point for the kids to learn as a part of their audition song, because if they didn't know it, it was very easy to learn, and also that most of the kids knew it already.
Right. So then in the auditions we did Consider Yourself, and we did the dialogue that led up to Consider Yourself, where Oliver meets the Dodger. And so some of the kids auditioned for the Dodger, and some of the kids auditioned for Oliver. And then we started looking at the same time as who to play some of the adult parts. And we came up with a situation where Anandi had come and said that she, even though she knew she was very young, wanted to audition for Nancy. And at the same time, I was thinking that Claire could play Nancy, just because of certain sort of innate characteristics of being English and strong. And
lucky you said that.
That was good. And so then we sort of set about creating an audition for Nancy. And how did you feel, Claire, when you were asked to audition for Nancy?
Well, I'd just like to say about the auditions in general first that the atmosphere throughout them was really super. The kids who came were really earnest and had really learned their songs and their lines, but it never became competitive or mean in any way. They were really supportive of each other. They would all applaud when they had finished, and there was really a feeling that whoever got the part, you know, the principal parts, everyone who had auditioned had just done a great job and was guaranteed to be in the musical, because it was already such a good feeling and atmosphere around them. When Paul first asked me if I wanted to play the part of Nancy, I was really surprised. I hadn't been at all thinking of acting. I had thought I was going to be the assistant director and would run around photocopying things and doing whatever other bits and bobs I was told to do. So I went away and I thought about it, and I'd also been extremely supportive of Anandi having that role, because, all of the kids who wanted to be in it and whatever they wanted to do, I was 100% behind them, and I felt that when she first sang, I started crying because she sang so beautifully, and somehow when people stand up and sing, they really expose something of themselves. So I felt a bit, it was very important for me to clear it with her first, that she didn't feel I had been hypocritical in any way. So before I auditioned or spoke to anybody else about it, I decided I'd go for it. And then I had a talk with her one day at school, and I told her, came down a little bit to this thing of young and old, where I told her, I'm old and this is my last chance to do this, and you're young and you'll have lots more chances to do this kind of thing. But anyway, the conversation went very well and she completely understood. And then she said to me, she said, I hadn't really looked very much at the character and what it involved, but I really wanted to sing that song, which was... As long as he needs me. And so then I came back to Paul and I told him that, and we decided she could have her song. And with that, she was perfectly happy. And I mean, as you can see from the final performance, she ended up with plenty to do. And I think she didn't in any way feel that she had been robbed of her part.
Yeah, and she rewrote the words to that song. She came back and said, this is the way I could sing it as this character. And so she actually rewrote that song for herself to sing, which I also thought was quite an exceptional thing to do. And the way she performed it was fantastic.
In fact, she did it in the audition from the very beginning. That was the song that she had chosen. She had learnt it before.
After we had finished the auditions and the principal characters had been decided upon, which was not an easy process because everyone who came was so good, we decided to call a big meeting of everybody who had shown any interest in being in the final production, which we did here at the Bharat Nivas in the end of April. And basically at that meeting we told everybody that the summer break was about to start and everybody would be disappearing, or that Oroville would be very quiet and people wouldn't really be available, and that we would start from July. And then things went very quiet for a while, and it, on the outside at least, it looked like not very much happened, but Paul was refining the script and
Matt
was doing
sometimes.
Yeah, so it was a basic. At that point, we took the script of the movie and readapted it to the theatre. We had the sort of the lines that were on the internet, and so I took those and then readapted that and made some scene changes and saw how it could run as a theatre play, which was interesting to do that, because you could already start to visualise some of the sets and some of the scenes and how it would start to run. Some of it I didn't know, like for example the last scene we didn't even work out until about 4 days before the final performance. But most of it was kind of organised by July. And Matt, you took the music and started rearranging it.
I mean, basically the first step for the music was to find the appropriate keys for the singers to sing, that they were comfortable with singing those songs. And then afterwards, the big work in the beginning was actually recording the songs so that I didn't have to come to every rehearsal to play the songs. So the arrangements, more or less, I kept with the original score. But then what happened was that, with the computer, I put them all onto the computer, well, most of them. So that on Saturday mornings the choreography could be worked upon, and I think at that time we were rehearsing separately. On one day a week we were rehearsing just the songs and really musically trying to get those together, and working with Nuria closely on the singing of the songs. Some of the parts, some people were working individually with Nuria on voice and certain things to do with those. And
Krishna came and said he wanted to sing his own song.
Yes.
That was exciting.
Well, it was open for changes.
Yes. You know, Krishna came in and suddenly said, I want a song as well. Give me a song. And luckily, there was already a song.
There was a song.
Yeah.
There was the only one who'd ever heard it. So we allowed him to sing his song as well.
Yeah.
So then we were working on Saturday mornings with the kids, and that started in July. So that was from sort of 9 till 12 every Saturday. And that started in July. And then in the music, the singing rehearsal started probably about then. And then in the middle of August, we began working with the principal actors in the evenings once a week. And then by the middle of August, most people were back into town. Norman came back in August, and Jesse came back at the end of August. And so by sort of mid-August, we were kind of in full flow at that point. Claire?
Yeah, I was just thinking with the children, the work from July until mid-August, or even until the intensive time of the school holidays, was really about sort of bringing them together as a team, because they ended up being kids from different classes in the school who hadn't necessarily worked with each other before, and they were all different ages and from very different backgrounds. And on Saturday mornings every week, Paul and I would have them down here and we'd work on reacting and projecting voices and some of the choreography for the songs and their little routines that they had to work on. But by the time we were ready for the sort of 2 weeks intensive workout, they really had a feeling of being a gang, which was what we were hoping to achieve with them.
So Norman came in as the principal acting coach, as it were. He's got vast experience of 50 years in theatre.
Film, television, radio.
Radio, commercials, brand corporatization.
Community theatre.
Community theatre, yes.
Exactly. Yeah,
and he's
can
also...
Can I be my agent?
I would like to, yeah. Can
he's
I,
also
I mean, if
author.
You need representation, I'm available to, you know.
So Norman, you came in. When did you start coming to the rehearsals?
Well, I came to the auditions, if you remember.
Ah, that's right, yes.
I started with the auditions, and I could see that, there was good possibility with the amount of talent that we had. I think the ones that we used, or you used, I think stood out quite clearly. I think people like the Dodger, and it was pretty obvious who was going to play what. But I went away for a few months, and then I came back. And the first thing that I saw was, with inexperienced people, was that you have to stop them from acting.
Right.
You have to stop them from acting, because immediately people feel that they have to act. They have to pull the faces, they have to do the gestures, they have to look. You know, so you have to stop them from acting, because they're acting from the outside and not from the inside, and all acting should come from the inside.
Right.
Okay. So that was the first thing I wanted to do, was to get rid of all the gestures and all the looks. And then we could talk about the characterizations and allow people to develop their own idea of the characters, but at the same time try to guide them in the right direction. So that was mainly what I was trying to do.
Right.
He wants you to look at him, at Francis.
You want me to look at Francis?
Yeah. Talk to Paul, but you.
Hey, you looked into this camera.
Okay. No. Okay.
And Jesse, you came in halfway through August.
Something like that.
So you came in when it was starting to be kind of vaguely sketched out, some of the things. But then you came in and gave that. You came in and gave your amazing sort of detail touch, you know?
My amazing detail touch.
Yeah, I mean...
Among other things.
You literally came in and managed to work with the kids in an incredible way.
Right, okay.
You enjoy,
right.
I'm trying to get into a point where you can start talking.
Now you tell us what you think you did.
Yeah, right.
How did
you see it when you arrived?
How did I see it? Well, I've worked a lot with children and theatre in Oroville, and... Norman taught me on stage not to remove my hands. Stop moving your hands.
He's not still using his
hands. Exactly right. No, this is right, though. Norman, I always listen carefully to Norm's advice. He has...
We all do.
If you listen to what Norm says, you always look better. You always come out on top. So there you go.
I'm paying careful attention
to Norm, and I'm also looking straight into the camera.
And your hands are still.
And my hands are still, exactly. Notice you won't see any movement of my hands. I mean, if the camera could see my hands. Anyway, so back to the show. I like working with kids, and I've worked with kids a lot in Oroville, and kids are great to work with because they're full of power and full of beans and full of energy, and it's all about focusing. They're like a laser beam. Like, you take the disparate particles of light and you attempt to focus them into a single concentrated beam with which you can burn a hole through...
Sheet metal. Thank you.
Exactly right. Yes, exactly. I was trying to find some connection that would take us into the audience's heart, but somehow laser beams burning holes in people's hearts isn't appropriate.
So.
That was my relationship with the show. Mm-hmm. I think to work with the kids, but I wasn't the only one working with the kids. You were also working with the kids,
absolutely.
And everybody was working with the kids. Matt, Claire, Norman, Nuria. So it was.
But you have incredible.
I think the good thing about the sort of theatre, the community theatre, is the fact that we all do it for the right reasons.
In this circumstance, I think.
There's a joy, there's a pleasure, you want to do it, you want to do well.
Yes.
And so, and you want to work with each other, and you want to work, off each other. And so I think the sort of theatre that you eventually produce was this lovely feeling of community, which then spread out right to the audience. You know, the audience picked it up, and so we had, a good, strong feeling of joy.
Right.
Yeah, you emanate.
Among all of us.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
The children, the principal actors. And I think what you did was that you were able to make an environment which was actor-friendly, so that when people came, they wanted to work. You know, they wanted to get in there, they wanted to learn, they wanted to do it. And that's very rare, actually. And so, you had a good schedule, and you kept to your schedules, which I think is very important. So when the actors came, they weren't hanging around. And when their time was up, we could go into the dressing rooms and start working in the dressing rooms. And so I think there was a good feeling that we could keep the play on the boil. the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, your handling of the kids was great because it wasn't over-friendly, but it was firm. And you got them involved. You got them involved with what they were doing. Right. And they were pleased with what they were doing. And they were pleased with what everybody else was doing. So that's I think, you know, one of the good things I think which came out of this production was the joy of doing what we were doing.
Yeah, and I think that this thing of Oroville, it has this incredible pool of talent that exists within Oroville, and we all do our separate things, but when we create an event such as this, a community event, then people can excel. They can all come and they can offer. they can give what their skills are. And Ireno came and offered the photography. Jyotis and Mukta came, and Jyotis has this incredible skill with costumes, and she worked. She worked late into the night just to create this sort of perfected sort of period costume, which I think she enjoyed to do, but at the same time it elevated the performance to such a level. Everyone felt, wow, I've got these incredible costumes. You know, this whole thing is going to take off.
But there was an enthusiasm which everybody picked up from each other.
Yes.
So that when the actors were working, the kids were singing, or the costumes were being made, everybody wanted to get involved with that. You know, even the people, you know, who were making tea and providing the food, you know,
they felt they were part of it.
Yeah. They did it with such a joy. And I think that was what really came out of the production for me.
Right.
It was a pleasure to be involved with that.
This is something I wanted to say about the show for a long time, that there's a lot of people that criticize Oroville as somehow not living up to Oroville's ideals, but for me, a production like this, it takes, from my standpoint, it takes me back to the ideals of Oroville as I understand them. In this circumstance, we suddenly found ourselves in a group of people who are all operating in an entirely selfless way, and I had a feeling from myself, and I think from everybody else, that we would have all been there 24 hours a day, sleeping in the theatre, working all day and all night, just because we felt so supported from the presence and contribution of every person there. The attitude of all the people in that group created a feedback loop that made you feel like you would have given anything to.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. But I think we have to be very careful that this is not the only theatre Oroville should be producing. You know, there are many levels of theatre, and this is one of them. But I think it did show that we were capable and this was possible in the 7 weeks, I think it was, that we were actually rehearsing, that this was possible. And so, you know, that was a great pleasure. But I think also there's a whole... there's a whole other thing of theatre, you know, which we must almost also bring into.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I guess the point I was trying to make is that theatre aside, like independent of the activity we were doing, the experience of working with the people in the group had enough to. If there was something in it that made you feel like you were in the right place in the right time with the right people somehow, doing what should be done. I don't know. Yeah. There was something true and good and solid and right about the whole thing. No, it was a good cast.
Definitely was a good cast. And to bring it back to like the specifics of the opening scene, you know, we worked for weeks with the kids developing that sort of routine, and yet the feeling was, even from the kids, they'd learned a lot of things, and if we changed it at the last minute, there was no sort of attachment, I felt, you know. They immediately said, right, we'll do what, you know, because it was a very supportive atmosphere, you know, the whole thing of the kids. And then when we brought the choir in, the choir was another interesting thing, where they'd learned the songs on a Saturday morning with Nuria and Matt, and only in the last 2 weeks did they even sort of touch the actual theatre production. We talked about it, but we hadn't really even thought it through. And when they came on the stage, then we gave them small directions. But most of the time, they sort of instinctively knew.
The choir were amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you gave them rough instructions. You say, all right, you guys stand over there, follow the kids, and kind of do the same thing as they're doing, and then move to the side of the stage. And you tell them once, and they do it. Yeah. Perfect.
But this is going to happen, isn't it? You know, if somebody sees something that they really enjoy being involved with, then they're going to want to get more involved with it, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I was amazed when we did both the first scene and the opening scene of the second act, you know, when they did their song of the rose cellar and these things. And they just walked on in such a beautiful, calm, relaxed manner. the direction was actually simple. It was
Yeah, exactly. Good. No, that's worry. Great. Don't change a thing. Good. Keep it like that. Good.
Super. The bar scene. What happened in the bar? We're talking about the
That was quite interesting scene. Because when we started the bar scene and the girls were dancing, and I kept saying, come on, what's the matter with you? You know, just relax, you know, get involved, because it's the only time, you know, in your life you're going to be able to play a tart. So get up there and do it. And then so very, very slowly, it took a long time, if I may say so, that eventually we got within 2 days of opening, and they said, what do you think, Norman? I said, yes, your tarts.
Right, so you have a good eye for a tart.
Yeah.
What they really needed for that, though,
they were able to, they were a bit holding back.
They needed Max to do that.
Of course.
They were holding back.
Max will bring out the tart.
There you go.
But they were able, what I'm trying to say, they were able to go from A to wherever it was. You know, they were able to develop this whole idea because they were holding back. And I said, you're not doing it at all.
Right.
But they eventually did, you know, and they started enjoying it, and then they got into it. So that was quite interesting to watch, actually.
Mm.
Hmm? Do you like to say something about that? No?
Go on, say something, say something.
You're a tart?
Not that old.
No, young tart.
Yeah, just that, you know.
But how did you feel about that? Did you feel that you were conscious or self-conscious? Or
yes.
You felt that we were doing something maybe we shouldn't be doing? Or what?
Well, it was interesting because we had practiced the song with Matt and Nuria, and both Elsa and I, all three of us, Anne and Andy, of course, had all had a lot of singing tuition with Nuria and worked on techniques, which she then said, when you get on stage, forget them all, just be yourself. It's like you're talking to the audience. And then we'd been rehearsing in Kalabumi Studio, where we just stood there and sang the song, trying to get the song perfect without any thought of what we were actually going to do when we got up on stage. And then as the 2 weeks rehearsals were going along, one day I just said to them, let's go outside and we'll try and put together a little routine, because we can't just stand there like lemons and sing our song. It's going to look silly. So we just went outside and we literally spent 10 minutes and had a lot of fun. And I remember the Amma from the Bharat Nivas came out and looked and was highly entertained. And we came back in and we did it on stage. And somehow and then Jesse honed it. What is that, the correct word?
Yes,
refined it afterwards, just to make sure that we were all doing what we thought we were doing, and that was how that scene came about.
You know, the thing which I felt the change between the three of you was when I said, look, play it drunk, and you were able then to get into something else. You were able to get away from yourselves, and you were able to get into another character.
We kept getting feedback, play it drunk, you're not sexy enough, be more raunchy. We're like, all right, guys, we're trying.
Is that
once we got you being drunk, once we got you, you know, acting drunk, then I felt that you were moving in the right direction.
What acting drunk? I was drunk the whole time, didn't you know?
That's called method champenoise acting.
And then the final scene. The final scene was a mystery for everyone until perhaps 3 days before the show, particularly how we were going to end it.
We did that on purpose, so the press wouldn't reveal the ending.
Exactly.
That's what people are paying for.
Well, yeah, we like to keep it sort of improvised at the last moment. And actually, I'd written some really terrible lines just to sort of finish it off. I had Jesse come in and sort of say, right, this is jolly good around here, or something.
He had a long speech.
I know, but it was total wash. I just wrote it to finish the play so I could give people the script.
You wanted a happy ending.
I definitely wanted a happy ending. I thought it was important that we had a happy ending. I also thought it was important that Bill Sykes as a character, particularly as I saw the play develop and the way Krishna was playing it in a very physical, vital manner, that I felt the kids would have to demystify him for themselves. I really felt it was a performance with the children, for children. I didn't want kids going home thinking, God, there's a sort of scary man out there. And so I personally thought it was important that the kids defrocked Bill Sykes. And that was always what I was aiming for. And I had very elaborate kind of ideas of swinging bags of flour across the stage and knocking him over sideways and things like that.
Setting him on fire. But
setting
we decided
on fire,
that
yeah.
was,
you know. Hanging him. We had one idea with a pulley where we were going to hang him up
exactly.
to the top.
The explosives, the bows yeah. and arrows, all this. For some reason, Krishna didn't go for
but
it.
But that's because you watched pantomime when you were a kid.
Absolutely.
Because the villains never, ever got away with it.
Exactly.
At the end, the demon flesh creep was, you know, brought down, or Captain Hook was given whatever he was supposed to get.
Yeah,
you know, so it was a traditional. It was a traditional. Yeah. It's a traditional thing in the theatre, children's theatre especially.
Yeah. But Bill Sykes never got away with it anyway. He died.
Yeah, he always died.
Well, no, exactly. Because he should. Whatever happened to him was that he should. The baddies should never win. Only the goodies win.
Well, what was interesting about the final scene was Matt actually came up to me at one point and said, Paul, you think that's it?
Is that the end?
Do you think it needs anything more? I mean, and I said, oh, I don't know. And then I sat with Jesse one day when we were actually doing the lights, about 2 days before the final performance, and we got into a conversation about mythology. Remember?
Joseph Campbell. The hero with a thousand faces.
The hero with it. And how the demon has to go down, and then there's the sudden, what did you call it?
The penultimate, the second last. They have to return. They have to suddenly.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Is that it?
It was the return of the thing. And so then we fleshed out some very simple idea. And then I remember sort of saying to Krishna, and Krishna at this point, no, I don't want anything more. No, Paul, keep it simple.
This is like a day before the opening.
Krishna, just try it once, you know. And he tried it, and Otto sort of tried it as a very gamely, I thought, because I knew their situation, you know. The guy comes in and starts tampering with things at the last moment. And they did it once, and they kind of said, okay, it was good. But the actual effect of it was, I thought, was fantastic. Just to hear from backstage, when Otto, as Fagin, went forward and sort of said, so, Bill, you're not leaving after all. And the whole audience had this incredible laughter. You know,
that line really surprised me.
It satisfied the audience exactly what they wanted, you know. It was a bit of a...
Finally, Fagin has power over the evil Bill Sykes.
Right.
And now I can talk to you like I really want to talk to you. So the audience wants to hear. They want to hear him being spoken down to a bit.
And it was very nice then that everyone came on stage, and I thought it was quite a good ending, actually. It was a simple way to get everyone on stage without too much sort of mucking around.
It wasn't like now, let's get everyone on the stage.
Exactly.
They had a reason to
It was
on
all
stage.
On stage, and it was quite nice. Mm. And then the curtain call, Norman, which you had insisted upon being rehearsed.
Well, I think I've seen some pretty ropey curtain calls in Oroville.
In your life,
there's nothing. No, mostly here because they're never rehearsed. You know, we always think, you know, we'll just let it happen, let it hang out, and it does look as if it hangs out.
Yeah, that's the last thing you take away from the show.
I wanted to finish with a good, simple curtain call,
and
it worked. No, it was fine.
Mm. Very good. Yeah. Can I just say that one of the things that really struck me about this show that really I think made it work so well was the incredible organization that this man brought to it. And it was the only organization that I became aware of, the level and quality of it I only became aware of as the thing unfolded. Like in the 2 weeks before we went onto stage, the two intense, hardest working weeks, it never occurred to me that they happened to coincide with the 2 weeks of school holidays. So suddenly all the kids were free to come and work 24 hours a day on the show. And this, I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm naive in my being impressed by this, but that and many other small details orchestrated by this man made the thing...
But also with Claire and Matt. I mean, it was a joint... That was the wonderful thing about the organisation, was it was a collective sort of decision-making process where we sort of agreed, this is the idea, and we sort of went through it all together.
And in my family, the number of times we've cursed you and Johnny for doing your productions in school time...
We are curse-worthy.
I happen to know when the school holidays are, you know?
Yep, exactly right. Just get it together, guys.
No, like Norman said, this thing of the organisation of the acting, I dislike as an actor going somewhere and having to spend 2 hours waiting. You know, so I was, from experience, sort of felt that was very, very important not to waste people's time.
Good thing that never
I think that's very important with any production.
And with that along, even more than that was the fact we had the children there. And if you have children sitting around while, you know, adult actors come in late or don't show up, you're just going to have a disaster with people falling off the roof of the Bharat Neva. So we had to avoid that at all costs. Mm. So we did it as efficiently as
possible. You have to keep something like this on the boil.
Yeah.
You know, you have to keep it, you know, when, as I said before, you know, if you weren't being used on stage, then go into the dressing room and rehearse. But don't just hang around picking your nose, you know. Keep going. Keep the whole thing going.
Yeah.
Talk about the characters. Talk about, you know, what's going on. Talk about everything that's going on stage. But keep it boiling. Don't get bored. I think that's what you achieved.
Right. We achieved, Norman.
Well, we achieved it. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. We three. Yeah.
We five. Everyone.
Five.
65 people involved.
At this juncture, I'd also like to take this opportunity to say one of the things that I found enormously enjoyable about this production was seeing Matthew and Nuria, two of Orville's quietest but biggest achievers, full flight, in full power, fully engaged, and suddenly you see what world-class talents these people are, and to be there in the presence of these people, I know it sounds corny, but it's humbling. Like, you think, wow, these guys are doing their job so well and so efficiently and so skillfully and with so much experience and dedication, you just think, geez, am I worthy of this production? They're like, am I good enough to operate in the same show as them? So I.
And the answer was.
Was no. No. I will forever strive
We're
to live
all
up
in
to
awe.
The standards set by these excellent.
And hardworking too. My goodness.
Hardworking? No. Lazy as all heck. Incredible. Always late and making trouble.
Oh, you? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, me. Exactly. Yeah.
Coming in without your tea in the morning.
Absolutely. Exactly. I mean.
What else do you need, Doris?
More than enough.
Thank you very much.
Great, all right. Yes?
Super.
Great. Super. All right.
Oh, we've got a lot more to say.
I know.
It's just that you do to your productions in
Oh, yeah, no, I know. Don't worry. I curse me all the time.
Anyone else? Matt, you want to say
anything? Do you want to say something, Matt?
Matt, you want to say something?
Well, I don't know what there's to say. So much has been said. I mean, there was there is a few things to mention for that from the music side. Was that there was in between all the scenes there was quite some work that happened also, which was very much a work that happened between the musicians. So some of it was worked out at the last minute, some of it was pretty much improvised. So it was really important for me to have a really good team that I could work well with, that we could really trust each other, because it was, in a lot of cases, it was very much just following what was happening on stage. So a lot of improvisation. So we really needed to follow each other, understand each other as musicians. So that worked really well with Holger, Suresh, and Nuria.
Mm.
And of course our young flute player, Jung Sung, also.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job of learning those parts also.
Mm.
So it was really a good teamwork on that. On that side also,
and definitely added an amazing dimension, no? With like particularly with the burglary scene, you know, suddenly when the music came in with that blue light, and it was a very simple scene, but it was very, very effective, no? you had all the components to make that simple scene sort of interesting for the audience, no?
I mean, there's so many aspects of the show
the lights
Jean and Mahi working on the lights. I mean, Mahi was there 10
And the sets.
Yeah.
The sets were wonderful. Worked beautifully, I thought.
The show had great sets appeal.
And with the kids, actually, the week before, we'd been practicing with them, and we said to them, oh, next Saturday morning, you don't need to come because we'll be working on sets. And they all said, oh, can we come and help? And we were like, yeah, sure. That was sort of the prevailing attitude of the kids throughout.
But I just mentioned, I just reinforced what Jesse said a number of times, but it was really about having the team together that somehow made this possible for me, and what Norman has said, that it was such a work, but at no, well, once, I was really tired, but at not many points really did I felt that my energy was down, right until the last. And it was due to this really good teamwork between the people. Everyone had their special area and really did their best in that area, but at the same time pulling together. So that was, for me, was the most strong part of this this whole production.
And then the really behind the scenes people like Paula,
who
just quietly took on such an enormous and valuable role.
And did it so well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, there was no hiccup or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just there, like just a miracle, really. I really found that very impressive, actually, the way they handled some of that.
Right.
Otto? What a great performance.
Well, yeah.
For me, one of the miracles was actually Jana and Marco, because, you know, we were having our weekly meetings and we said, okay, we want this person for this part and this one, and everything was coming together and we had everyone we wanted and we didn't have the Beatle and we were really going nuts and the time was passing by and we were coming up with the most bizarre names for possibilities. And then at one point, there was always this flexibility. Yes, Krishna could have his song. Yes, Anandi could sing Nancy's song. We could always make the changes. And suddenly we said, well, if we can get Jana, the Beatle can be Mrs. Beatle, not Mr. Beatle. And that change was made. And then actually it was Elsa who suggested Marco, and it was still touch and go because he had other things he needed to do, but finally he could do it. And they came in really near the end, and they were just perfect for those roles. And the song was such a strong point in the show when Jana sang, and Marco was all for joining in. Liliana came and helped backstage, and it went with everything. It went like that, you know, that people would come in and their energy was just there, and as soon as they saw what was happening, they wanted to give more and help as much as they could. And it was always yes.
Oroville at its best.
That's what was so good about it, was that it was so affectious. You know, that as soon as somebody did one thing, oh, that was great. And then, can you help me with this? Oh, yeah, fine. You know, and so it was everybody. Yeah. And I think that's what really came out of the show for me.
And I liked it when Mahindra came to school on Monday and said, we're heroes now. I really like that.